Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're going to discuss about relationship, because Srila Prabhupada's been talking about that, how we have a relationship with the Lord, even in this material world. So this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, fifth chapter, the cause of all causes, text number 38. Bhurloka kalpita padbhyam. Bhurloka kalpita padbhyam. Bhurvaloka sya nabitaha. Bhurvaloka sya nabitaha. Rida swarloka. Urasa. Rida swarloka urasa. Maharloko. Mahatmanaha. Maharloko mahatmanaha. Bhurloka kalpita padbhyam. Bhurvaloka shanabitaha. Rida swarloka urasa. Maharloka mahatmanaha. Bhurloka kalpita padmam. Bhurvaloka shanabitaha. Rida swarloka urasa. Maharloka mahatmanaha. Bhurloka kalpita padbhyam. Bhurvaloka swanabitaha. Rida swarloka urasa. Maharloka mahatmanaha. Bhurloka kalpita padbhyam. Bhurvaloka swanabitaha. Rida swarloka urasa. Maharloka mahatmanaha. Bhurloka kalpita padbhyam. Bhurvaloka swanabitaha. Rida swarloka urasa. Maharloka mahatmanaha. Maharloka swanabitaha. Saloka Rasa. Vaishnavis. Raloka Kalpitapadyam. Purvaloka Svanabhitaha. Rida Sarloka Urasa. Maharloka Mahatmanaha. Raloka Padapadyam. Raloka Urasa. Maharloka Mahatmanaha. Boo. The lower planetary systems up to the stratum of the earth. Loka, the planets. Kalpitaha, it is so imagined or said. Padbyam, out of the legs. Bhuvaha, the upper. Loka, the planetary system. Asya, of him, the Lord. Nabitaha, from the navel abdomen. Rida, by the heart. Swarloka, the planetary systems. Occupied by the demigods. Urasa, by the chest. Marloka, the planetary system occupied by great sages and saints. Mahatmanaha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation. The lower planetary systems up to the limit of the earthly stratum are said to be situated in his legs. The middle planetary systems, beginning from Bhuvarloka, are situated in his navel. And the still higher planetary systems, occupied by the demigods and highly cultured sages and saints, are situated in the chest of the Supreme Lord. Please repeat. The lower planetary systems, up to the limit of the earthly stratum, are said to be situated in his legs. The middle planetary systems, beginning from Bhuvarloka, are situated in his navel. And the still higher planetary systems, occupied by the demigods and highly cultured sages and saints, are situated in the chest of the Supreme Lord. Purport. There are 14 spheres of planetary systems within this universe. The lower systems are called Bhuvarloka. The middle systems are called Bhuvarloka. And the higher planetary systems up to Brahmaloka, the highest planetary system of this universe, are called Svarloka. And all of them are situated on the body of the Lord. In other words, no one within this universe is without a relationship with the Lord. So there's that relationship. Om Gyana Tamanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksusun Manitamina Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitamiena Bhutale Swayamupakadamayam Dadati Swabhutantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The lower planetary systems, up to the limit of the earthly stratum, are said to be situated in his legs. The middle planetary systems, beginning from Bhuvarloka, are situated in his navel. and the still higher planetary systems occupied by the demigods, our highly cultured sages and saints are situated in the chest of the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that no one within this universe is without a relationship of the Lord. And in the previous verse, Prabhupada also mentions there, he says, therefore the universe is a complete unit in relationship with the Lord. And without this relationship with the Lord, the whole human society is disturbed and is without any peace and prosperity. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Brahmano sha mukham asid bahurajana kritaha. And then in the next verse, text 39, it's also mentioned there in the purport. This material world is only a shadow phantasmagoria of the spiritual kingdom of the Lord. And because it is a shadow, it is never eternal. The variegatedness in the material world of duality, spirit and matter, cannot be compared to that of the spiritual world. Because of a poor fund of knowledge, less intelligent persons sometimes mistake the conditions of the shadow world to be equivalent to those of the spiritual world. And thus they mistake the Lord and his pastimes in the material world to be one with the conditioned souls and their activities. So just see. So here we are in a shadow world. And Prabhupada, in that same purport, he ends it, he says here, the Virat universal form of the Lord is an imagination for the material world, and it has nothing to do with the spiritual world or the kingdom of God. So here we see, this is the description of one universe. And we're just seeing how we see the upper, the middle, and the lower planetary systems of this material world and how they're all situated within the body of the Lord. I heard that they're actually in that stem. Is it from that navel stem? They're situated in that stem. You can see that green stem emanating from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and then where Lord Brahma takes birth in a lotus flower. So we're situated within that stem. So we're actually part of the Supreme Lord. So how could we not have a relationship? All of us eternally have a relationship with the Lord. And we just have to somehow or another open that up. There's an interview that Srila Prabhupada gave to LA Times reporter, and this was about the moon trip. And Prabhupada, first of all, he says here, knowledge received from the Vedic source, or he says knowledge is received from the Vedic sources. Just you are talking on the source of knowledge from the modern scientific books. Similarly, we are talking also on the source of knowledge received from the Vedas. It is not a religious belief or faith, blind faith. We're not inventing anything. We're talking on the basis of authoritative knowledge contained in the Vedas. So he's all asking about the moon and how, I guess he heard that it's just like the analogy he heard, if you try to go to another country, you're going to be checked out. And they might not be very favorable towards you. And they might put stumbling blocks in your way. So he's asking the same way, if they go to the moon, do you think that they would actually oppose them, oppose these earth people? And Srila Prabhupada says, yes, actually, that's a fact. That he talks about a story in the Bhagavatam where a king was trying to go to another heavenly planet and he was opposed by the demigods and the residents of the heavenly planets. So we see that's that. So Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, and he says there that also in the Bhagavad Gita says there are three planetary systems, the upper, lower, and the middle. That's from the 14th chapter, Urdhvam Gachanti. So those situated in the mode of goodness, they will go upward to the higher planets. And those in the mode of passion, they'll live on the earthly planets. And those in the mode of ignorance will go to the hellish worlds, which are on the bottom sections there. So this is how we're allowed to go to these different systems of the universe, depending on our modes and the qualities we achieve. So there's another nice Bhagavad Gita lecture Srila Prabhupada gave in Manila in 1972. And he quotes this verse, Urdvam Gachati Sattvasta. And so he talks about the same thing, how we're situated in these different modes. We go to different planets. So he says, you are, at the modern times, they're trying to go to the higher planetary systems by machine. It is not possible. But if you place yourself in the mode of goodness, you can go to any higher planetary system, up to Brahmaloka. So that's that. So this is the three planetary systems. It's called the Triloki. And at the present moment, we're in this Borloka. You can see that in the middle there. And above that, that's the middle planetary system. And above the Borloka is the Bhuvarloka. It's called the Bhurvaloka. And then above that, there's even the Satsvarloka. And there's Jnanaloka, Tapaloka. So these all the different lokas are described there. And then Prabhupada is talking to the modern astronomers. He's like, what do they know? They do not know anything. They do not know that there is the moon planet. They do not know what is there in the sun planet. He's asking, he doesn't know what's there in the moon planet or the sun planet. They do not know what's in all these planets, nothing. So still, they're going on. They are proud. But if you read Vedas, you get all the information of the universe. Not only this universe, but beyond the universe. Beyond the universe. And there is another nature, and that nature is never annihilated. So he talks about the material nature, how everything is eventually annihilated. And he said, just like your body, it's produced at a certain date, you know, by your father and mother, and then it'll be finished at a certain date. So in the material world, innumerable universes, they've been produced at a certain date, and they'll be finished also at a certain date. So all this huge phantasmagoria of all the universes, it's temporary. Therefore, it's considered to be illusory or like a shadow. But there's another nature where everything's eternal, and that's what they call Vaikuntha Loka, where there's no anxieties. But here, everyone, no matter what you are, animal, you know, human being, they're always in anxiety. But if we go to Vaikuntha, then there will be no anxiety. And this is where we're actually learning from the Vedas, this destination. So we should successfully make our life by reading these literatures and understanding our position and not live like animals, Srila Prabhupada says, just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. There's a nice section in the 10th canto, this is the 70th chapter, where Lord Krishna's daily activities. And here Narada Muni is trying to get Krishna to come to the Rajasuya sacrifice. And he's approaching him very nicely, offering wonderful prayers and talking about his inconceivable potencies and what he does and how the living entity is caught in the cycle of birth and death, and he doesn't know that he can be delivered from this material body. But you perform, you actually come with your various personal forms and you display your pastimes just to illuminate this path. It's like a blazing torch. And so he's surrendering to Krishna in that way by offering these wonderful prayers. And but he says here that there's just Yudhisthira Maharaj, and he wants you to come for the sacrifice. Because, you know, you are the greatest and everybody worships you and everybody will see you. And then there will be opportunity to get your darshan and you could give them your darshan. So here, Narada Muni is saying that, you know, all the exalted demigods, these glorious kings, they're so eager to see you. So please come to this best of sacrifices. So this is what he's describing now. He says here, it's like a prayer. O Lord, even outcasts are purified by hearing and chanting your glories and meditating upon you, the absolute truth. What to speak of those who see and touch you? So he's using an example there. And then he's talking here also how, this is a very nice verse that relates to this, what we're talking about. He says, my dear Lord, you're the symbol of everything auspicious. Your transcendental name and fame is spread like a canopy all over the universe, including the higher middle and lower planetary systems. The transcendental water that washes your lotus feet is known in the higher planetary systems as Mandakini River, and the lower planetary systems as the Bhagavati, and on this earthly planet system as the Ganges. The sacred transcendental water flows throughout the entire universe, purifying wherever it goes. So this is so nice. And if you see on this image, oops, I'm sorry, I went to the wrong one here. Let me see if I could go to this and point out to you here. And if you could see the highlight here, this is the Hare Krishna mantra. It's coming down like a canopy or like a river. And of course, the Ganges is coming on this side. You see Lord Shiva is stopping the Ganges from destroying this universe. So this is how we got the mercy. It's coming from Krishna. So it behooves us to actually try to learn about Krishna and hear about him. Because simply by hearing about him, anybody can become purified. So we're very fortunate about that. So here we see the universal form of Krishna. You know, how can you have a relationship with something like this? But you know, it's interesting. In the Archanaparati, there's a very nice prayers that are chanted while one worships the deity. And these are very wonderful. And I like to just say some of these prayers because this is the Supreme Lord and is being worshipped. So it says here, the Supreme Lord's universal form has 1,000 heads, 1,000 eyes, and 1,000 feet, for it contains all living entities, having pervaded the universe completely to give it existence. And being independent, he extended himself beyond the universe by 10 fingers. Can you imagine? Just try to visualize that. So these are actually from the Purusha Shukta prayers. So, and we're going to not chant the Sanskrit, it'll take too long, but I'm just going to go through some of the verses. They're very wonderful. And it describes practically what we're studying. So the universe, past, present, and future are but manifestations of the Supreme Lord's Purusha expansion. Though he is the Lord of immortality, he has manifested himself as the Purusha in the universe so that the jivas may enjoy material fruits. So we're understanding why now. The past, present, and future universes are manifestations of the Lord's powers. But the Lord himself is much greater. All the living beings of the universe are but one quarter portion, and the eternal nature in the spiritual sky exists in three quarters portion. How can we compare ourselves to Krishna and just see the vastness? The three quarters portion of the Lord transcended the material portion. The Lord in the one quarter portion manifested the universe again, as he had done repeatedly before. The Lord of the one-quarter portion began the work of creation by going all around, taking the form of all animate and inanimate objects. From the Lord, the universe was born, and in that universe was born the Virat Purusha, the supersoul of the universe. Then the Virat Purusha grew and produced the earth and the bodies of the jivas. The devatas. Now, as the pujaris are chanting these prayers, they're actually offering and bathing the deity. How can you serve this Virat Purusha form? So they're glorifying God in his manifestation, but yet they're physically a relationship with Krishna. They're actually bathing Krishna. They're putting incense, scented oils. They're dressing him, offering food. This is a relationship. So this is the devatas. So the devatas, the first beings manifested, performed a mental sacrifice to complete the creation. For this sacrifice, they used the Virat Purusha, which in parentheses, the raw ingredients of the material world, as the offering. Spring was the ghee, summer the fuel wood, and autumn the offering. In this sacrifice, the blades of kusha grass strewn around the fire for protection from rakshasas were seven, the 7 Vedic poetic meters. And the fuel sticks were 21, 12 months, 5 seasons, 3 worlds, and the sun. The devatas who performed the mental sacrifice tied the Virat Purusha to offer him as the sacrificial animal. This is just amazing. So, and all through this, the pujari is offering mantras, mudras. He's offering so many different things for his bathing and things. The devatas, sadhyas, and rishis placed the Virat Purusha, the first being of the universe, on kusha grass and sprinkled him with water for purification. In this way, they conducted the mental sacrifice using the Virat Purusha. From that sacrifice, where everything in the universe was sacrificed, yogurt and ghee, and indeed, all nourishing foods were produced. It created the animals of the air, forest, and village. From that ultimate sacrifice, or Swarhuta, were born the Rik, hymns, Sama, music, and Yajus, prose, portion of the Vedas, along with the 7 Vedic meters. Horses were born from the sacrifice, along with animals with 2 sets of teeth, such as donkeys and mules. Cows were also born from the sacrifice, along with goats and sheep. The brahmanas arose from the face of the Virat Purusha, the kshatriyas from his 2 arms, the vaishyas from his thighs, and the sudras from his feet. So you can see there. His mind gave rise to the moon, his 2 eyes the sun, his breath vayu, and his mouth Indra and Agni. From his navel rose the space between the earth and heaven. From his head, the heavens. From his feet, the earth. And from his ears, the directions. In this way, the worlds were created. I know that great Virat Purusha, as effulgent as the sun, who stands beyond the darkness of the material creation, having given all the living entities their forms and names, he directs their affairs. O my Lord, you are the secret of secrets and the keeper of secrets. Please accept the japa I have chanted as an offering to you. Please be merciful and let me attain the same perfection attained by those who are fixed in your service. I think that's an extra mantra I just added because it's a nice one. So they even performed like a homa, like a sacrifice and so many things. So Brahma explained his realization to Indra. Indra, who knows all the living entities in all 4 directions, explained it to all others. One who knows the nature of the Virat Purusha becomes immortal, even in his life on earth. There is no other path to reach the goal of immortality. So in the same way, Brahma is explaining to Narada Muni description of the Supreme Universal Form. In this way, the devatas conducted the mental sacrifice using the Virat Purusha to manifest variety in the world. By that sacrifice, both the physical laws of nature and the first spiritual codes of conduct arose. The great souls, by similar mental worship, attain the place of immortality, where dwell the sadhyas and devatas, the first worshippers. So there's so many other prayers, and there's just a few more here I'd like to end with. As a living entity endowed with life, intelligence, body, and the power to discriminate between right and wrong, I offer Krishna whatever I have, or whatever thought with my mind, spoken with my words, and performed with my hands, feet, stomach, and genitals while awake, asleep, or in deep sleep. I offer myself and everything I have to the Lord. So this is the process. So we want to offer everything, because everything comes from Krishna. So this is that prayer. So here we should contemplate, we should understand and reflect on who we are and our relationship with this universe. We can see also there's a mental image, imaginary image, how Krishna is this universal form in the form of fire, you know, ether, water, earth. Of course, mind was also up there, you know, and intelligence. So these are all material elements. They have substance. and they're in the material world, and all from the Krishna. So this, like is mentioned, this material world is like a shadow. It's the shadow world. It's a reflection of the real world. And here we see there's so many shadows and so many things. It's hard to see and understand what's going on. It's very mysterious, almost spooky. In fact, it is. And we can see here, this is the shadowy material world. Everyone's trying to enjoy. And Prabhupada says, there's a very nice, Prabhupada wrote this unpublished thing on, where is it from? Let's see, it's from, actually no, this one's from a garden conversation that Srila Prabhupada gave in Vrindavan. And he says, the whole world is envious. I am envious of you, you're envious of me. Then Bhagavata is not meant for such envious persons. Paramo nishmat saranam. Those who are no more envious, that's what the Bhagavatam's for. How they have a devotee envious. He loves Krishna and in relationship with Krishna. He loves everyone. In that position, in that state, one will not try to suppress another. Otherwise, it is material life, to live at the cost of others, to suppress one, to take others' money and become rich. There's a story in Aesop's fable that you perhaps know it, that a dog took the flesh in his mouth and was crossing a river, and the shadow was in the water. So he thought, there's another dog with flesh. So he wanted it too, and he lost this, and that was a shadow. So just see, he has got a flesh in his mouth, but he is an animal. It was deluded that another dog is carrying, so I shall take. So even in the cats and dogs, this tendency is there. Even the cats and dogs, they're also. So how can you stop it? That will be not stopped. They do not know. Therefore, these theories, they are simply theories. They are not practical. They do not know what is the nature, how nature is working. Daivihi esha gunamayi. This material nature can be avoided only by one who is Krishna conscious. Otherwise, it is not possible. So Prabhupada gives an example of Ramananda Roy. He says he is touching naked woman, washing, dressing, touching, because he is not in the material world. This is an example given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the material world, as soon as you think of woman, you will be, it says indistinct, I guess they couldn't figure it out. So probably agitated. In this material world, you can touch even naked, beautiful young woman, but you will not be indistinct. That is the difference. Hrid Roga Kamam. So Prabhupada quotes something from the Bhagavatam 10th canto. It's a very long verse. So he says, so advanced spiritual life means he becomes dira. He is no more disturbed by these material laws, and he becomes free from all lusty desires. This is spiritual perfection. So long as you have lusty desire, any position immediately, you will try in the same way to snatch, never satisfied. So this is the disease of the heart. This is hrid roga. So this is what's happening today. Prabhupada says, everyone's thinking, I'll become minister. I'll become president. I'm the leader. You know, and then eventually, I'll become God. So this is what's happening in this ocean of the material world. It's a reflection, a shadowy world. But here, we have hope. This is from the lecture Srila Prabhupada gave in 1971 in San Francisco. He said, the material world is not required by me or you. We are a spirit soul. We have no business in the material world. Just like we are living entities of the land, we have no business with the water. But if anyone wants to cross over the sea, he must have a well-built ship to cross over. Similarly, we spirit souls, we have no business in this material world. But because we want to enjoy it, leaving the association of Krishna, we have been given up the ship, this body, to ply over the material ocean. We've been given the ship. So Prabhupada ends nicely here. So if you know how to ply the ship over the ocean, there's no fear of being drowned. If you have got a good captain of the ship and the ship is well built, then you will have no danger. So the captain is the spiritual master, and this body is a very good ship. These are the examples given. We have to cross over this material ocean So we must have a captain and a good ship and favorable air. If the air is favorable, suppose you're going to the western side, and if the wind is blowing towards western side, it will automatically push your boat or ship. It will be favorable. If you go against the wind, it is difficult. So you have got very good ship, this human form of body, and the captain is the spiritual master and the favorable wind blowing. The instruction of the Shastras. So taking this opportunity, if you cross over this material ocean, then there is no difficulty. So we should take opportunity of this body, of the instructions of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, and the spiritual master, then we can easily cross over. So we could see here, Srila Prabhupada's given us the clue on how to get out of here. And this is the real pandemic, actually, in this world, is that 99.9% of all the literatures, they don't have anything to do with the relationship with Krishna. So everybody's misusing their reading propensities to read all mundane literatures. Wherever you go, go to any bookstore or library, 99.9% of the literature doesn't have anything to do with our spiritual relationship with Krishna. So this is what's happening. And now it's even worse. Just like the Russians, they say how they conquered India somehow with their literatures. So Prabhupada wanted us with our literatures also to conquer. And nowadays, what to speak of literatures, you go on the internet and there's so much fake news on the literatures. So much fake news. What to speak of mundane. It's not even real. So it's spreading. And that's just how countries are being actually taken over by spreading fake news on the internet. It's amazing. So Prabhupada says here in a lecture in Los Angeles in December 1973, your intelligence was given to understand what is God. What is your relationship with God? Why are you rotting in the material world under shadow illusion of so-called happiness? These things are to be known in human form of body, not like working very hard like cats and dogs and asses and eat little food and do all sinful activities. This is not human intelligence. So this is what we're reading, these literature, so we can understand our relationship. And Krishna, he's inviting us. He's inviting the intelligent human beings to return home, back to Godhead. It's stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Bhuva Loka Punar Avatar Arjuna. Mamupetya Tu Kunteya Punar Janma Navijate. So beginning from the topmost plan of the universe, situated just below the eternal Brahmaloka as described above, all the planets are material. And one situation, any one of the many material planets, is still subject to the laws of material nature. So it's namely birth, death, old age, and disease. But one can get complete liberation from these material pangs and enter into the sanatana atmosphere, and just simply by taking advantage of these transcendental literatures. Reading. So Prabhupada says here, only by attainment of a service attitude to the transcendental position can one enter into the kingdom of God. Therefore, the speculative philosophers as well as the mystics must first of all be attracted to the devotional cult before they can factually attain liberation. So this is the verse. First of all, we learn from this verse, Dehi no smin yata dehi, komaram yovaram jara, tata dehantara praptir, dirasata muimuyati. So this is from the Bhagavad Gita. And this is the first state, is we have to understand God. What is the nature of God? That we're spirit, soul, we're part and parcel of God. And we're simply a sample of God. So if you're just like, analyze the Pacific Ocean, the drop, it has the same qualities as the ocean. So in the same way, we can understand that the difference between us and God is that we're individual souls of the same quality, but the quantity is completely different. And that's how we can see how the quantity, we see the universal form, the Rat Rupa, the creation of man. How can we say we're quality one with God? It's just not possible. So even this planet is so tiny compared to the Supreme Lord and his capabilities. So we have creative power just like God, but there's a vast difference between our creative power and Krishna's creative power we see in these universes. It's just amazing. So this is a nice lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave regarding this verse and how what it means to understand the absolute truth. So we have to take advantage of these literatures. And so this is there. So we'll go on. So Prabhupada always condemns the Mayavadi philosophers. He says that they can't understand the spiritual variegatedness. And as soon as they think of varieties, they think of material things. But actually, there is variety in the spiritual world. And he said, unless there's variety here, I mean, there, how could it be here? So Prabhupada says, how in the shadow the varieties are there? So Prabhupada said, just like a cinematographic picture, unless the original photograph or the subject matter from which the photograph is taken, unless there are varieties, how the picture can be variety? So in the material world, the varieties are reflections of the spiritual world. So here we see, everything you see in the material world is a reflection. So even our relationships, like our father, mother, son, children, these are all reflections of the spiritual world, and they're all temporary. But there is a place where they are eternal. So Prabhupada talks about this in the lecture in Los Angeles in 1968 on the Bhagavatam. He said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that reality, the real father, if you accept Krishna as your father, he'll give you all protection. If you accept Krishna as your husband, oh, there will be no question of divorce. If you accept Krishna as your friend, oh, Krishna will give you everything. So these are the real eternal relationships. And because we see, Prabhupada says also the Mayavadis, they think that there's no such relationship as friend, master, or son in the spiritual world. But actually, they say there's no such thing. But in the Shastras, we see that it is real life, that that's the real life. Here in the material world, it's a shadow. Just like in the 15th chapter describes how we've got experience of a shadow, the banyan tree. It's very durable. It stands for many hundreds of years. And this is the material world has been compared to a banyan tree. So it goes on increasing and increasing and increasing in that way. So we have to reflect on ourselves and see how we understand by reading these Vedic literatures, by distributing these Vedic literatures, we can reflect and become introspective and try to understand our position. So Prabhupada says that this enjoyment is shadow. This is not real enjoyment. We have no information. This enjoyment can be achieved in a similar way with Krishna. Krishna therefore comes in person just to teach us how to enjoy with Krishna the same relationship. So here, this is very nicely how we see everyone has a relationship with Krishna. It doesn't matter what sect, what religion, what age, you know, nothing. We can all have a relationship with Krishna. And this is what Lord Chaitanya came to give. He was in there's a very nice song where Lord Chaitanya lifted up Haridas Thakur and he's telling him that, listen, he says, now I explain in detail the meaning of Nama Vyas. So this is very nice. We're understanding the holy name, how it's like the sun, and it just dispels this darkness of illusion from all these anartas and these sinful activities, ignorance. And he just defines ignorance. He says, ignorance is of three types. If one does not know the true spiritual nature of the holy name, which one has accepted, this ignorance of the name, like mist, leads one into darkness. Secondly, a person ignorant that Krishna is the Supreme Lord will take to worship of the demigods and the path of material piety. Thirdly, one who is ignorant of the transcendental nature of his own self as an infinitesimal part of Krishna and his world takes shelter of the world of impermanence and illusion. Thus he remains eternally in ignorance. So this is the Lord was telling Haridas Thakur. And then Haridas begins to explain about ignorance. And he says, knowledge means knowing Krishna is the Lord and that the living entities are his servants and that the material world is a non-conscious gross manifestation or byproduct of the Lord. The person who does not know clearly the nature of the principles, these principles, and their relationship, lives under the shadow of ignorance. This is one cause of Nama Byas, or covering the sun of the pure holy name, which its full effects cannot be felt. Actually, the mist of ignorance simply covers the individual living entity's eye in a localized position. Just as the sun becomes invisible only from relative position of the individual under the cloud, but it is never really covered. So the holy name is never covered, for it is non-different from Krishna, and eternally transcendental and pure. The full effects diminished for those people who have over their eyes the cloud of anartas and the mist of ignorance. So then he describes all these different anartas, these clouds that are described. So I'll just end with this. And the anartas are classified as thirst for material enjoyment, that's called asat trishna, miserliness of the heart, hridaya durbalaya, and offense, aparad. The category of thirst for material objects is divided thus: craving for material objects in this world, craving for heavenly sense pleasures in the next life, desire for mystic yoga powers, and the desire for liberation in Brahman. So this is what our weakness of heart is like. So this is all described, how we have this envy, this deceit in the heart. And we can get rid of all these anartas by inoffensively chanting the holy names, which actually will wipe out this dust, this cloud that's actually covering our eternal nature. Then we will no longer be in the shadow of illusion. We actually see who we really are. So this is a process. And it goes on describing from about the Nama Byas. And so this is what's described. So I'll just end here. It says, because the holy names are invested with all Krishna's transcendental energies, even by chanting in Nama Byas, one can attain the goals of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, the cherished aims of the Vanashram system. The chanting can give one the position of happiness in the material universe. It is the only result for the helpless. One can go up to the border of Vaikuntha planets by this chanting. Scriptures recommended the name as the process for Kali Yuga in particular. So this is from the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Harinam Chintamani. It was chapter 3. So this is our process, that even if you're Nama Byas, not pure holy name, it's better than performing mystic yoga. It's better than performing any kind of other processes. And it'll be the actual way to free us from all this illusion. It is the answer. So yes, Prabhu, you have a comment out in there. If you have any comments or realizations. I think, did you answer? Raise your hand first. Okay, go ahead. Okay, sure. No, you could ask. People leave as they need to. Yeah, be nice so the people on the internet could hear.
Hare Krishna. I actually had a couple questions, but I'll just ask one and then see if anybody else has a question. Mm-hmm. What you just read from Harinam Chintamani, it said, if I heard correctly, that even Nama Byas can take you to Vaikuntha. That's what it said, right? Mm-hmm. So that was my first question, just to verify that it actually said that. That's amazing.
It takes you to the border of the Vaikuntha planets. It takes you to the border of the Vaikuntha planets.
That's what it says, border. Because yeah. I was just reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, in Madhya Leela chapter 6 with the talks. No, actually it was Haridas Thakur when he's speaking about chanting. He's saying that even Nama Byas can give you liberation. But then we know that there's 5 types of liberation.
Yeah.
One of them is Salokya. So
yeah.
It seems like even Nama Byas can take you to Vaikuntha. Possibly. And there it says the border. So yeah. I was just trying to clarify that.
Yeah, it's trying to bring the point in that this Nama Byas is very important because it destroys sinful activities. And then the more and more you chant, the more purified you get from that dust and that cloud of ignorance.
Okay.
And then you just keep chanting, then eventually you get your goal.
Another question I had was, when you showed the picture of the universe, it was showing different layers. There's right above Bhuloka is Bhuvarloka. Yeah, right there. And it says that's where the Rakshasas and the ghosts live.
Yeah.
So my question is, if the ghosts live there, but they also live on this planet, is it that some live on this planet, some live there, or is it that somehow, inconceivably to us, that Bhuvarloka is also here, but it's like on a higher dimensional, like a higher dimension that we're not able to see? Or how does that work out?
I guess they have their abode. And because their subtle bodies are more powerful than human beings, they can travel around. And probably some ghosts aren't so advanced, so they just end up staying in a corner of a room or something. I don't know. But it seems like they do have their abode where they stay. So, and they're powerful. They're very powerful.
Someone has a question.
Yes, he's next. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, you mentioned about the mental sacrifice as a universal form.
Yes.
Where's that stated?
That's in the Archana Padati. Let me find the chapter for you. It's in Pancharatra Pradipa, and it's under Nitya Seva. It's under elaborate deity worship of the Shaligram Shila with articles. Those prayers are chanted then. Yes.
Another question.
Yes, sir.
Is when Mahavishnu exhales and the universe has come out of his pores, so somehow they're floating, or how does that work? I've also heard that they're clustered together, or because here it seems like they're all separated, but I've also read that they're clustered together, and then at the same time somehow they're resting on the hoods of Anantashesh. So it's a little bit confusing. I'm trying to like picture it in my mind, but maybe it's not something that could be mentally perceived. It's like beyond the mind and intelligence, perhaps.
So this image, you see Ananta on the bottom?
Yeah, I see that.
So that's Ananta Seish. So let me just show you the rest of this image.
Because my understanding is that they're floating in the Karna ocean, because Karna Dakshai Vishnu exhales.
So here you have the Karna ocean. So here you see the Karna ocean. And each one of these bubbles is a universe. Can you see that good? Let me make it bigger. So let's just go here. Let's see if we can make this full screen.
Then we also hear that there's like unlimited universes resting on the hoods of Anantashesh.
Yes.
So that painting is probably not 100% accurate.
Yeah.
It's probably just trying to give us a visual picture of what's going on.
Yeah, because how can you even depict a universal form? But yeah, and then it goes up higher here. Let's see if we go. As you see from all the different expansions, originally from Krishna, different energies. There's different dhams in the spiritual world and different expansions of Krishna. Krishna doesn't personally have to create the universes. He just expands himself into like Balaram, and then Balaram, goes into the quadruple expansions, and then Sankarshan, and then from Sankarshan, it expands down and down into the second quadruple expansions. And these are the different dhams here, the Narayan expansions in the Aishvarya dham. And then there's Kailas, Lord Shiva's. Then there's Brahma Jyoti. So this is the border wall right here, this Karna ocean. I mean, you may be able to get through these layers, the universe, but beyond that, there's they call it the Virajata River, which is same thing as the Kazya ocean. So you have to cross that. Then beyond that is the Brahma Jyoti, so you have to go through that, you see, and then go, talk about border walls, like we're here.
One thing that always confused me also, because I remember reading how each universe is resting on like a tortoise, right, like a turtle, remember reading that? But then in other places it says it's resting on elephants. So I don't really understand.
Oh yeah, when
that.
They show the universe that they're going to do in the TOVP building, show something like that.
Somehow it's simultaneously resting on a tortoise and elephants. I don't understand all that.
I remember seeing something like that. Do you remember that, Jodhikarma? Something about the universe is resting on elephants and tortoises. I think in the TOVP they're trying to do. I saw something on the chandelier like that.
Right off the top of my head, I'd have to
look
through all different kinds of things. But there are different. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 5th canto, I think it's described there are elephants within the universe that stabilize the disk of Bhumandala.
Oh, it's a disk, yeah.
I never heard anything about elephants supporting the whole universe.
Yeah.
So you have to look at the references and see what they're referring to.
Yeah.
Because it does describe in the 5th canto, I think, the Bhumandala at different places there are elephants in the different directions that kind of stabilize it.
Yeah. Let's see here. That's probably where you heard it, huh? Prabhu, that's probably where you heard something like that from the elephants. Jai, I'll go to Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll go to Srila Prabhupada. Planetary sketches.